This is the Valley Outdoors, and we are really glad to have you guys with us this week. It is going to be a great show. Ava, we've got a great guest today.
Yeah, and we need all the help we can get.
We're missing. We're down one.
Yeah.
We're flying with the hidden formation or the missing wing or the, I don't know,
yeah,
something.
So we're going to have a nice gentleman join us instead.
Yes, we are. Mr. Larry Nixon. He's a world-class bass angler, been traveling on the tour forever. We're going to talk a little bass fishing, favorite techniques, and some formats as well. And the general is going to be joining us later in the show, we call him. And I hope you guys will too. Hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. So, Ava, we get to chat a little bit about everything today.
I'm a little afraid.
Oh, be not afraid.
Is the Force with me or something?
Yes, I don't know. We'll just go with that. This Star Wars trilogy, actually all of them were on last week, I think, so keep that in mind.
Do or do not. There is no try. You're better at that than I am.
I am not going to do it. I could, but I'm not going to do that. Speaking of, I don't know how I can segue into this tip of the week. It's kind of difficult, but to weed fish or not to weed fish, that's the question. How about that? That's a whole different person. That has to do with history. But another experience that you have a lot of times right now, you've got a lot of weeds, and I think a lot of people get frustrated with weeds in the fact that if you're walleye fishing or whatever, you're frustrated. Oh, there's weeds everywhere. I'm going to fish in clear water for walleye or crappie or whatever. And it just doesn't work that way. And I think what you're going to find is in a lot of the bodies of water that have the cabbages, those types of weeds, and not the necessarily the milfoil. The milfoil also holds fish. But what you're going to find is, if you're able to work those weed edges, if you're able to target those fish that are over the top or, you know, trolling over the top or casting over the top of those weeds, those fish will come up for it. And I think that's one of the things that people can get frustrated with. And it's something that you need to be patient with and understand. Eventually, you'll figure out how to work those baits through the weeds and along the edges. And one of the things that I learned up in Devil's Lake's trees and shrubs and bushes and a lot of weeds everywhere.
Sure.
And one of the things that I found, I was casting countdowns. Now, if you're familiar with a Rapala countdown, it's about a 3.5-inch long lure with a little lip on it. It's weighted, so it sinks. So you don't have to constantly be reeling it to keep the bait submerged or under the water.
Okay.
And the advantage is that you control or cast a long way in the wind because it's weighted. And when you're reeling back, you're going to get a given depth of, let's say, 3-4 feet. But you can cast it along the weeds. So what you do is you simply get the boat along the weed edge and cast forward with another person next to you. And you can cast forward along those weed edges and just work the boat that way. And I found that those walleyes come out from the weeds when they see that thing coming along and they will crunch it. A lot of times they'll follow, which is even just sometimes just as fun when you see the fish coming up chasing that bait.
Mm-hmm.
But it really important thing is, like I said, the weeds are going to hold fish, and finding pockets in those weeds and working and casting some, maybe a shad wrap, casting that down into those weed areas and into the pockets where you can really draw this fish out. It's truly amazing. Maybe you're also going to throw a bobber or a float with a jig on it and a leech. Same kind of thing. Focus on the key spots within the weed areas that are going to hold fish. Maybe it's close to a break a steeper break line, that's where the fish are going to be able to escape. So cover for them is in weeds. They don't have to go anywhere. They can hang out and be there forever, and they're going to be bait. They're going to hang out. So don't be afraid to try the weeds. Crappie, sunfish, walleyes, you name it, they're going to be there. And an occasional toothy critter to make things interesting on top of
it. Yeah, I was just going to say, when we went fishing in Wisconsin, we were right along the shore, and it was real weedy right there, and we just casted right there and had lots of little northerns going for it, which I thought was
they're aggressive.
Funny.
They go after
and they're fun.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. Those are a good time. So, yeah, play with that and see what things you can come up with, shall we say. Speaking of things you can come up with, in Michigan, they just got a state record Chinook salmon at 47 pounds. That's just crazy.
Ick.
A Great Lake 47-pound Chinook salmon. They posed with the new state record, and that was caught August 7th. And, they're using a Moonshine Raspberry Carbon Spoon, just in case you guys wanted to know. Moonshine Raspberry Carbon Spoon, and it said it again so you can write that down. And it was from a gentleman from Ortonville, Michigan, and it was a record, 47 and a half inches long, weighed in at 47.86 pounds. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's huge.
That is crazy. Never expected a catch like this would happen. It's possible for anyone if I can do it. I would like to extend a great thank you to the captain, Bobby, as he's the one who made this catch possible. Everything went perfectly, and it breaks the previous state record Chinook, 46.06 pounds and 43 inches, caught in 1978.
Wow.
So that's a long-standing
record.
No
kidding.
It was verified by the Lake Michigan Basin Coordinator with the DNR. And they had a pretty cool deal there. So to qualify for the state record, it must exceed the current listed state record weight, and identification must be verified with the DNR fishery biologist. So
they say if they put it back?
They didn't say, but generally with this kind of a thing, they didn't know if it was going to be a state record.
Yeah.
They brought it in, and at that point, it's so worn out and tired, it's generally not going to survive anyway, especially when it comes to those. They put everything they have into fighting those, fighting back, obviously. So kind of a neat deal, though.
You know, I feel like a lot of these records that are getting broken, they're only like 2-3 years old, and then they get broken. This one is from the 70s.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Well, I think the other thing you're going to find, a lot of the records that are being broken are probably because there's people spending way more time fishing than there have been in the past.
That's true.
You know, with the pandemic and everything going on. So that's been a big push. I guess not push for people to go for records, but just by virtue of being in the water.
Just being there. And
you can't catch fish if your line's not in the water.
That's true.
I use that all the time. Well, not all the time, but whenever I can. It's a great line, and I like to use it. Speaking of the line and using it, we are going to be right back. We're going to be coming back with Mr. Larry Nixon, talking a little fishing, talking bassing, favorite techniques, and some of the cool things that have suddenly really taken the fishing world by storm. So stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors. Welcome back, guys. We want to make sure you guys check us out on Facebook. Like us, please. And of course, thevalleyoutdoors.com, the new updated website. Ava, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's 100% up and ready.
I think we're good. We got past shows on there, and so you can pull those up. And I think we're well over 400 and some shows, aren't we?
Yes.
Something like that,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. So, and then you sit back and you think, you had to put up with me for how many of those shows? Boy.
Most of them.
Too bad. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. One thing I am not sorry about is a very dear friend of mine I've known for many, many years. One of the top guys on all the Bass Tour. I don't care where you're at, what tour it is. And I love the town that he's from, too. It's a pretty funny name, but I love it. It's a good thing. And Larry Nixon, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Mr. Eric. Oh, everything's good, buddy. I'm just fixing to pack up and load up and head up to La Crosse for the championship.
I am looking forward to you guys coming up here. I might stop down and see you since you're up good. In my nape of the woods. And what town do you live in?
I live in, right now I'm in Quitman, Arkansas. We moved from B Branch over to the farm, and it changed my address, but I'm halfway in between the two cities.
B Branch. See, I love that. That's just like, you can't make it up.
No.
Somebody did, but you can't make it up.
I really did not want to change the name of my address, but they said where I lived in the county, even though I'm still in the same county, that I was under Quitman's jurisdiction. So there you go.
That's a bummer. Well, you know, Larry, even though your address has changed, you're still what I'd consider to be the guru. We've got to hang out so many times at different boat shows and dinners and whatever throughout the years. And, you know, you have the insight. You've got, you know, that's why they call you the general. Am I right?
That's right.
There you go. I love it.
Many great times, buddy.
And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, the fun part about it, too, is you're still after it, which is good. And when you're looking at different techniques, and you know, for all the anglers that are out there, the bass folks that are out there, there's a lot of techniques that have come and gone, but recently there's been a slew of different techniques that have really kind of changed the dynamic of fishing in for bass. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, what are your take on those kinds of things, and what's going to stand the test of time, and what's going to be a fad?
Well, the thing I, you know me, I'm old school. I've been at this 44 years, and this new live sight technology and active imaging and all of that stuff, believe me, I've got it because I know I have to learn how to use it. And there's going to be certain lakes and certain times when it's going to be, if you ain't doing it, you're going to get beat.
Yep.
And so I'm having to learn how to do that, and it's not something I like because naturally I'm an old-school bass fisherman. I like to go out there and find them with my rod and reel and the depth finder and not have to look for fish to make them bite.
Yep.
And but it is you know, it's incredible in the crappie scene and the walleye scene and even in the bass scene when they're not welded to the bottom in current, it's always a player.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's we of course we used electronics for years to look straight down at them, but now being able to look out in front of the boat 50 60 70 feet and see a cruiser and fired out there to him, and if he's hungry he goes and gets it. So
it's true.
Yeah, I'm having to learn something that I'm not real fond of, and I'm not gonna lie about it.
No. Well, and you know, I'm with you. You know, it used to be that it wasn't a matter of the technology totally dominating. Yes, it did. It was a big help with the down imaging and the 2D and the cone and everything else and learning distances and that kind of thing. But then they went to the side imaging, and that really did kind of change the game quite a bit. And, of course, now, yeah, I mean, you're going to be seeing fish and weeds, and you can see all these different things. And it does add a completely different element to the fishing side of it. You see it true in bass and walleye. So what about techniques, Larry? As far as you're looking at techniques, what's really come on in the last 6-8 years you think is just...
Well, of course, I've been a finesse fisherman, you know, for years and years. I won a tournament on Rayburn in probably 82 or 81, somewhere in there on a shaky head. And, you know, it was kind of non-existent back then. And now we've got Ned rigs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a minuscule jig head worm. And it's nothing that's new to me, so I'm very fond of that technique. Probably I was probably doing it way before anybody else even knew about the thing. Stacy King happened to be one of the very first people to see a Ned rig, and I happened to be at a tournament rooming with him, and he showed it to me, and I got to really utilize that dude for about 6 years, and nobody else was throwing it. And you know, so that was one of the new things there. The Tokyo rig, I understand it. I see what it's good for. And really, to me, when I'm trying to get a reaction strike, that's not something you do. I mean, you're going to flip pitch to do that because your initial fall is what gets the reaction bite. A Tokyo rig is a
fill everybody in on a
drop shot.
Yeah, Tokyo rig is basically a drop shot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, it's a big lead, big piece of lead about 3 inches above the hook or below the hook, and you just flip and pitch, and the big sinker goes busting through the grass and sits on the bottom, and you sit there and shake your whatever you've got for a trailer on there, and right. It's a whole different presentation.
What a, you know, the
another
Ned rig,
one of them I don't fully understand.
Well, the Ned rig I find is one of those deals where it works for walleye, it works for bass, it works for everything.
Oh my! I've caught a ton of crappie on a Ned rig.
There, it's
yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's you know, versatile.
Well, I was out
and
of Malak.
Spots and smallmouth, absolutely love it.
It's crazy. I was up in Malak and I tried to, trying to target some smallmouth. What do we end up catching when, you know, we're out there? No live bait. You can't use live bait. So I throw that out and I'm looking for smallmouth. What do I catch? Walleyes. I get like five walleyes. I get no smallmouth. They like vacated Vineland Point. I'm like, come on, really? Oh, you know, but amazing. Yeah, I mean, you can drag it. I'm a jig guy. That's my deal. But boy, you know, so the Ned rig's a big deal. What about the umbrella rig? You guys done much with the umbrella?
We originally were able to use it. It was something that I absolutely despised because that was about the time my shoulder was going bad, and I mean, you got to have a set of wings to chunk that thing. And so I was trying to fish the finesse ones, and all of a sudden, you know, it got to be a foul hooking a fish issue, and everybody says, nope, we ain't going to do that. Don't want to reel in a bunch of bananas in the tournament, and so they banned it.
Well,
and I was tickled to death.
I totally agree. I think it's not an appropriate thing that, you know, having five different, six different, eight different baits swimming, and then you've got another one that's in the middle, I think is what you had, right? That's the main one in the middle.
Yeah, it's like a school of shad with a big keeper behind there, and there you can naturally, they eat the big one, so it's a big fish bait. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
And there's times when you can't hardly catch a bass on anything else other than an umbrella rig. yeah. There are certain times in the late fall and the winter that, I mean, you just can't hardly catch one on anything else of any size.
Right.
And you put that thing on and the biggest fish in the lake eat it.
That's, you know, the funny thing about that, that you see it in deep sea fishing. They do that same type of thing for marlin, I think they do it. And and then he converted it over. And it, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of transfer over and follow that kind of a thing. Well, it's, you know, speaking of changes, you know, TV, you know, we've all talked about TV shows and fishing shows, and, you know, they've been boring. You know, you look at TV tournament shows, they're boring. Boy, in the last 3 years or so, it's taken a whole different turn. What are your thoughts? I mean, as far as these tournaments?
Well, this last year and a half has been kind of a real blow up in fishing shows. I know I've watched a million, you know, with the pandemic going on in this country and not going out. And other than that, you just sit around and watch hunting and fishing shows, or that's what I do. And, you know, it's my job. And every fishing show that comes on, I watch it. I mean, I love MLF, but it's not something for a young man. I mean, let me put it this way. It's not something for an old man because you got to handle so many fish during the day.
Yep.
And you got penalties. If I was to fish them things, I'd set a world record for penalties. Ain't no doubt. I'd drop 25 in a day's time, so I'd lose nearly an hour's fishing.
Well, but you get a good break that way.
Yeah, I get to rest for two full minutes. So
you do. Every third fish, you rest for a couple minutes.
But, no, I enjoy all of them. I really do. I've watched the guys up north fish, the Lindners. I mean, I've watched them all.
Well, and Larry, let me ask you this. I mean, you're still at it. You still love tournament fishing. What drives you to keep doing it?
Well, it's just my love for fishing. It darn sure ain't my love for driving and pulling a boat. So, you know, I just got back from the St. Lawrence River, and I thought I was going to have to take 3 days to go 2,000 miles. Yeah. I had about 5 hours left, and I had my wife with me, and I said, look, if you don't give me a little break here, I'm going to pull over and go to sleep. But, yeah, you know, I still love it. I mean, I still love, it's not the competition, it's the fishing. And if I stay home, I'm not all that driven to go like I used to be, and so tournaments keep me going.
That's awesome.
About all I know to say about that.
Well, I'm telling you, I think it's not just the fishing, Larry. I think you really do like the competition as well. I mean, even though it may not be as it once was, but I'm thinking you still like the competition. I really do.
Well, I like to do well. Believe me, I'm not saying I had a good year, but I made the championship, and I know 115 other guys that didn't. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty darn good. That
it
absolutely
is. Basically with a spinning rod.
You know, I have to comment, you know, when I ended up in second for Angler of the Year in 17, the part that blew me away was with all this trolling and all this other stuff going on, every tournament it involved, I was a spinning rod or a bait caster rod with a jig or a crankbait casting, and it was rod in hand instead of trolling. And, you know, that's awesome. I mean, you love doing that, right? What's your favorite presentation?
Oh, my, yeah. I love throwing a shaky head worm and a Ned rig and a Carolina rig. That's all that bottom fishing is my favorite deal. And it don't matter whether it's 2 feet deep or 40 foot. I don't really care. But I hate current. I can tell you that. That St. Lawrence River beat my brains out because I hate current.
Well,
and that thing is ripping.
You're going to be coming to La Crosse. You're not going to have to worry about much current. Let me tell you that right now.
That's what I was afraid of. I'd heard it came up and it's back down, and there might not be any current.
It's slow. Let's put it that way. There will be current. And you know what's important, Larry? When are you going to be coming up here?
Oh, I'm going to leave day after tomorrow.
Well, so you're going to be up in that nape of the woods, in our nape of the woods. You're going to be in La Crosse, and the event, what's the date of the event?
Well, we practice Saturday and Sunday. Monday is a off day, and then part of the group fishes Tuesday, and then the next group Wednesday, and the next group Thursday, and the next group Friday, and we'll cut to, I believe, 20 or something like that, and fish Saturday and cut to 10.
Well,
so
you know what?
It's three different cuts.
And this is FLW, right?
Yes. Perfect. Well, no, it's what they call MLF, Tackle Warehouse.
I forgot. Yep, it switched. My bad. MLF.
Yeah, it's hard for me too, believe me.
If you want, and if anybody out there wants to go watch this, you got to head down to La Crosse. This is an opportunity for you guys to see the best anglers out there on the Bass Tour. Meet and greet. Say hi to these guys. And I'm going to head down. I'm going to check it out and see what you guys are doing. I'm going to be heading probably next Wednesday. I'll probably come down and see what's going on. It's my day off, so I'll probably come down and check it out. So we'll make a day of it.
We'll be around there.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I've got a little room in Stoddard since I don't have anybody to room with. My roommate that I normally travel with didn't make it, so I found me a little room kind of out of the way out there. I've stayed there once before, and I just drive back and forth to La Crosse. It ain't far.
No, that's a close run. That's a close run.
Yeah, and I'm not a city guy, so there's the other reason.
Well, tell you what, Larry, I will give you a call before I come out and see where you're about and what's going on, and maybe we'll get together and have an adult beverage.
Sounds like a winner, buddy. I ain't quit that yet either.
All right, I like to hear that, Larry. You have a good night. I love it, and our good day, and we appreciate you coming on, man.
All right, Mr. Eric.
Good luck.
Thank you. Enjoyed it. Anytime, buddy.
All right, man. Talk soon. All right. And that wraps. That's not a wrap. We're going to be coming right back with more Valley Outdoors. Hang tight. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
What do you think about that, Ava?
Well, he just sounds like one of the coolest people ever.
He is so awesome. You know, when we were on the same team, the national team, with Evan Rude, and for so many years, you look at those guys and you watch carefully because they're the ones that they are an example to follow, and they are he is a bass guy.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I didn't know that walleye guys got along with bass guys.
When he's Larry Nixon or Denny Brower or Davey Height, you know, you see these guys, and I've got to hang out with these guys regularly. And they're just really genuine people. You wouldn't expect that with all the things that they had done and the fame and the fortune and everything else. But no, he is just an absolute down-home guy. And he loves hunting. And he loves fishing. And we just tell tall stories and stupid jokes. It's fun.
Isn't too much of a difference between you guys, huh?
No. It's just certain people get a little attitude-y judy between the bass and walleye guys. And
why?
Oh, I don't know. It's because the bass guys eat walleye, and we're trying to catch them and use them for tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
We don't eat
bass.
Quit
eating our fish.
We joke about that, though.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we're not joking about is we're wrapping it up. This is the end of the show. Unfortunately, well, we really appreciate you guys joining us this week. Check us out next week. We will be here one more time. This is Valley Outdoors. See ya.